Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we finished verses 12 through 14, and we are looking forward to beginning a new passage today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. We welcome you to another Today broadcast. Today we'll be starting in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. I title this verse, The Image of the Invisible God. The Image of the Invisible God. Now, my friend, you will want to listen to this. As a matter of fact, you'll want pencil and paper out so you can take notes. I believe that also you'll want to call someone else so that they can listen in and get the benefit of this message. I want to encourage you to write us and let us know that you're listening. We're not asking you to send us money. What we're saying, rather, is let us know you're listening. Let us know that this message and this ministry is a blessing to your heart. We want this message and this ministry both to edify Christians. That's why we do a verse-by-verse Bible study over this broadcast. And then also, we want you to tell others about us and get them to listen in as well. That's how Lamp and Light Ministries grow. So we depend on you. Let us hear from you, and let us hear from you soon. Now, if you'll take your Bibles and look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. It says there, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Now, in verses 12 through 14 of Colossians 1, it shows us what Christ has done for us. But now, verse 15 and the verses following begin looking at Christ and who he actually is. And we first see that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, that statement flew right in the face of the problem of that day. The problem of that day was Gnosticism. It had invaded all religions, and it was like the New Age movement, humanism, as it has infiltrated so many religions of the day. This is what Gnosticism did in that day. The Gnostics were in the know. That is, they professed to have a superior knowledge of spiritual things. Do you know people like that? They feel too mature for you to teach or share anything scripturally with them. They feel like they're too mature to go to Sunday school because spiritually they're above the teacher. And they must tell you things and make proclamations to you and just kind of straighten you out. Job 12:2, Job had three men that were trying to do this with him. And he said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." And of course, he is being very sarcastic with them. You see, this person believes that all matter is evil, including the body. Therefore, God could not come in contact with matter. He would not directly create it, and he would not touch it. How then was the world created? They would tell you by a series of emanations from God. In other words, they taught that God did not create the universe directly, but he created spirit creatures, emanations, who in turn created another creature until one finally created the universe. Now, some of these emanations were angels, and they considered Christ one of these emanations. Now, since Christ is one of these emanations, they taught he could not truly be the Son of God. And this teaching degraded the preeminence of Christ as well as his deity. When verse 16, the next verse, will state, all things were created by him, it made the Gnostics cringe like it does the evolutionist today. This system also looked at matter as evil, and this led to two extremes. Now, since the spirit is different than the body, they said, well, the body could be involved in fornication. It could be involved in all types of evils, since only matter is evil and not the spirit. The spirit one day would leave the body behind, so it really didn't matter what the body did. And so they felt like they had liberty, whether it's fornication or anything else, to do these things because they would leave that body behind. Now, there was another extreme to Gnosticism, and theirs was to touch not, taste not, handle not, because all things are evil, and we don't want to be near those things. In other words, this system led to extreme abstention. There was a tendency, or they had a idea that, boy, if I do that, then that's going to affect my spirit. If I do this, it's going to affect my spirit. And they got to where they wouldn't do things that were right for people to do. So you had the one group that abstains from everything, and then you have the liberal group that anything goes, and they were under that philosophy of, well, we have grace, or we have liberty, and they applied liberty to the flesh instead of applying liberty to the spirit. In other words, that liberty of the spirit that allows us to be free of fleshly desire and fleshly control, they instead said we had liberty to the flesh to carry out fleshly desires and to do those things. You see, this idea of people using liberty today to justify rock music and immodest dress and going to watch these filthy movies and everything else they do, my friend, that's not something new. My goodness, that's at least 2,000 years old, and it is just as much sin and just as wrong today as it was back then. Now, since the spirit world is emphasized in this, both groups implied we needed added knowledge that was derived from a mystical experience in order to properly understand spiritual truth. They had that knowledge, and they would initiate you once you've entered into their doctrine. So already they're implying that the Word of God is insufficient. And their system gives the believer a full knowledge that's not possessed by others. And of course, that leads to spiritual pride. They loved using the word fullness, and I believe that's one of the reasons that word appears throughout this epistle. Sometimes you'll find this true today in groups. They sometimes want to call themselves deeper lifers. And what's so interesting is many times they're not real busy in the local church. They'll get in local church and seek to proselyte disciples to come to their home Bible studies. And many times these home Bible studies, they will undercut what was preached on Sunday. And then they'll talk about, oh, all these things they say are deep. But they're not out soul winning. They're not out bringing souls down the aisle to receive Christ as Savior. They're not out trying to serve the Lord in ministry. And what they really don't realize is that their depth in God's sight is shallow. There are people that have eighth grade educations that are saved that has more depth than those people. Now, they may not have more knowledge, but they have a whole lot more depth. And we find that Jesus also went out preaching the gospel, not just saying, okay, I've got my group and we're the only ones and everybody else is below my group of disciples and they can't mingle with you. No, Jesus sent his disciples out to the crowds and to bring them to Christ. And my friend, that is the responsibility that we have as Christians. Now, it is necessary to understand that, because how does one explain an image of something invisible? Have you ever thought of that? Paul is going to point out that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is Almighty God in the flesh. And by the way, as true in that day, so it is today. Every cult goes wrong on the same doctrine, and that is on the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now, my friend, I'm not the mediator between you and God. A priest is not the mediator between you and God. The Pope is not the mediator between you and God. Jesus Christ is that mediator. And he is the image of the invisible God. And my friend, that phrase is referring to the deity of Jesus Christ. You see, he is the firstborn of every creature. And that speaks of his relationship to created things. Jesus was very God and very man. He is the God-man. Hence, this verse involves the idea of a need of mediation between God and his creation. Now, the word image here in verse 15 of Colossians 1 is the Greek word icon. And that word is image. It doesn't mean form, okay? It is image. It is more than a resemblance or a representation. It is a manifestation. It is a revelation. It is a prototype. And you see, Jesus Christ is Almighty God clothed with humanity. In John chapter 14, verse 9, it says this, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" See, this was another way of saying he is making the invisible God visible. Our mistake is to have an outward eye only. But Jesus must be seen as the derived image from the inward, invisible God. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." So whoever the Word is Almighty God, according to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Then John 1:14 tells us, "And the Word," now remember, the Word is Almighty God, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In simple terms, Jesus Christ is not one of God's created creatures. He is Almighty God in the flesh who existed from eternity past. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my